I think this would be a fitting song if we're going to study God's Word today, dispensations, and rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Why don't we sing Hi, Marshall and Jim, and the 482 in your hymn book. Song to start out with. All right, Brother Joe, come on up here to the microphone and pray for us. Open in a word of prayer for us here this morning.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you humbly, Lord, and thanking you, Lord, for Jesus, Lord, for your love, Lord, that you have given unto us, O Lord God, so freely, Lord. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you'd help Pastor as he preaches your word. May we grow in the word of God, Lord. May it come into our hearts, Lord. May we hide it there. But may we speak it to others, Lord, as we have to, Lord. Father, we'd ask you to help Pastor, Lord, as he's going through this time, Lord. Please comfort him and his family, Lord. May this morning's service be all about Jesus, Lord, and nothing else. May he be the one lifted up here, because he's the one that has done all for all. Father, we'd ask, Lord, that the things that are done here, Lord, would be done for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Good. Break thou the bread of life. 599. 599. We haven't sung this one for a while. A little bit slower song. But break thou the bread of life. The bread of life got to be the word of God about Jesus, the Son of God. So 599. Let's sing this one. Look at that. My spirit pants for the old living word. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page. Show me the truth concealed within thy word. Wow. Show me. I want to see it, Lord. I don't want to keep it concealed. I want to know it. I want to learn it. And in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. Okay, well, good to see everybody here today. And hope that you'll have a good time here in church. Happy birthday to Francis. Yeah, it's your birthday today, isn't it?
Thursday.
All right. All right, everybody, let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Good. All right. All right, don't forget now, tonight, evening service, 6:30, right back here. We're studying the duties of the Christian tonight. And so that's part four tonight. Come on out and be here for that. We got an event coming up at the end of the year. We do this every year, just kind of end the year together, fellowship one with another. But we're going to do it on a Friday night instead of the last day of the year. Friday night, December 30th, 7 o'clock, potluck dinner. You bring the food, okay? Boy, did we have a good Thanksgiving Eve service. Well, the food was just a layout of great things. It was really good. And I'm sure you guys will do just as well the next time as well. Potluck dinner, we call it. I guess that's lucky if the pot has anything in it, I guess. I don't know what that means. Potluck dinner. We'll have song time, game time, and fellowship together. Come on, get out here. You need fellowship with each other. You know it? What else are you going to do? You know, you got to have fellowship one with another. Come on out, be here. That's a good thing. And then, of course, on our Sunday morning service, we're going to be doing this dispensation study. I just want to announce it and keep it in front of you. I think it is one of the most important things that you can get down in your heart and mind is how to understand God's word. And we want to start that today. Okay, want to get moving right along here. And we'll do another good song, I Love to Tell the Story, number 592. And then Jason will have a special for us. All right, Jason, got something? All right. I Love to Tell the Story. And then we're going to get right in to the study of dispensations. Okay, 592, I Love to Tell the Story. How beautiful heaven must be, you know it? It's going to be wonderful. We get there. Craig Helly is going to hand out a dispensational notes for you. If he would do that right now, just quickly get that accomplished there, Brother Craig. Everybody take one. There's enough for everybody. And the first thing I want to do, I want to take you in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And we're going to read this verse together. This verse gets us started out in our study on dispensations in the Bible. Dispensations. What a word, huh? How many never heard that word outside of this church before? You've never heard that word outside of this church before. Raise your hand. Dispensations. All right. About half of you. Half of you never heard it before. I think that's a shame. You should have heard about it. You should have been taught this. And it's really something that we need to know. So let's get to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Everybody together, let's read it out loud. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a lot of problems in our world today. So many people are confused as to how to use the various parts of the Bible in your own personal study and understanding of the Bible. That verse tells me that this Bible needs to be rightly divided. Now, to start off with, I just want to show you something. All right, everybody kind of get your Bible and hold it in your hand, so kind of like this, all right? And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. And kind of put your finger there, all right? Get Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? All right, now, as you hold that Bible, I want you to go all the way through till you come to the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to put your finger right there in Matthew chapter 1. All right. I'm trying to get there myself. Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I want you to hold on to all the pages. See how I'm holding this like this? See that? Look at all that. Look at all that part of the Bible there is. And I want you to know something. That part of the Bible is all about the history of Israel. God and the nation of Israel. Billy, are you all right?
I'm just trying to look for somewhere to sit.
Okay, find a seat there. Back there in the back there maybe, okay? All right. Look at all the pages you have here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not everything in that section of the Bible is directly for you. All right? Now, it's all good, and it's for our understanding and learning. There's wise things and everything in there, but it's not primarily for you. Now, I want you to go to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, go through them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. Find the book of Acts. Put your finger there. And then take it all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. I want to show you something. You can even look at my Bible up here as you see me with the pages from Acts to Revelation. See that? It's thin, isn't it? It's rather thin compared to what we were just holding there in the Old Testament. This information in these pages right here, folks, are for you. Are for you. See that? Look at that. Just a little tiny portion. So can you see where there can be a lot of confusion in the Christian church and in teaching and churches? And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm not going to apologize for saying this at all. Your regular Christian broadcasting on television is very bad. Okay? I don't apologize for that. Much confusion. Confusion galore. Because they will misapply, misinterpret scriptures that don't belong to the church and apply it to us. And it just gets to be an absolute mess of understanding. And it's very difficult for you as a believer to know, what am I supposed to believe? How do I know what to believe? And so we're going to do a study which will help you to be able to divide the scriptures up so that when you read them, you can say to yourself, okay, I'm reading, you know, the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Who is that for? That's not for the church. Jeremiah knew nothing about the church. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sat down and they never talked about, won't it be nice when people meet in a church building someday and they have church service and they sing songs and they talk about the rapture. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob knew nothing about the rapture of the church. Knew nothing about that. But they did know that Jesus is their Messiah. And he was going to come and provide salvation for them and the nation of Israel. So they understood that. So do I. Jesus is my Messiah. He is my Savior too. But you know what? The promises he made to Israel are for Israel. The promises he made to the church are for the church. Now, I want to take you to some verses and show you some things. Go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Folks, I hope that you will realize that we're going to be in this study for a little while, okay? This is not going to be a quick study. I want you to learn how to study your Bible. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 8. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want you to say to yourself, this passage is for me or it's not for me. Okay? Here we go. Listen to it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day, by the way, in the week, what day of the week is the seventh day? Okay. We are here on what day? This is Sunday. Okay, all right. I'm in verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did you do that yesterday or no? Why not? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You understand. I hope you understand. It's there, but it obviously is not primarily for us in this day and age. Something has happened over the time, and yes, that instruction was given primarily to the nation called what? Israel. And they are to do that. They were to do it in the Old Testament times. Let me ask you, Did they faithfully do it? They did not. They disobeyed quite often. And as a result, the Lord was angry with them. And he sent them into captivity for 70 years so that the land would get its Sabbath rest like it was supposed to. And why did God do this? Because God, through Israel, was going to bring salvation into the whole, for the whole world. But he had to set his people Israel separate and make them a peculiar people. And he gave them the law of Moses. And they were to keep that law to make them different from all the rest of the nations in the world. You know, no Gentile nations were told to keep the Sabbath day, only Israel. The Gentiles didn't do it. They didn't have to do it. God wasn't requiring them to do it, but he was requiring Israel to do it. Because not only would it be a day of rest for them, but the Sabbath would also be a type of rest that God would give through his Son, Jesus Christ, to all men who would trust in him. And I mean rest from sin, rest from judgment. So it's a picture of how God will someday bring a great Sabbath of salvation rest, not only to Israel, but to all people as well. So there we go. I want to now take you to Exodus 35, verse 2. Exodus 35, verse 2. Exodus 35, verse 2. Now, whoa, wait till you see this. Wait till you see this. Exodus 35, verse 2. He reiterates this Sabbath thing again, okay? 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be what? Wow. Put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Are you glad we don't live under that? Because you know what? None of us would be here today. We would all be dead by rights. By right. Billy, what? No. No, I want, that's what I want to teach you.
No, what I mean by it is like when it says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery.
That's repeated for us in that, remember that little section of pages back here? Remember that? That is repeated there, and so therefore that would apply. But I want to get that out of your mind. We are not under the law. Okay, so I was real strong in my response to you there, because I wanted that to be clear. You are not under the law. Okay, so we have more to learn about that as we go along. But I wanted to be real strong on that because I was hearing you there. Okay, all right. And now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Here is one that you will hear on the TV very often. And I say Trinity Broadcast Network, okay? That's a very bad, bad network of Bible teaching. I'm just going to say it. I'm holding nothing back on that. They cause more confusion than anything else. And it's charismatic, speaking in tongues and healing. All of these things have ceased since the completion of the Word of God. And it's nothing but mass confusion on that television station. And I would say this, get to church more than you get to Trinity Broadcast Network, okay? Get to church, all right? Don't sit there in front of that thing and listen to one pastor after another come on there with all kinds of screwy things that they want to say and misapply scripture. I'm not apologizing for what I say there at all. You say, yeah, but they got good music and things. Hell, even their music is going contemporary. It's like rock and roll anymore. And you know what? Get to church. Go to church, all right? Get to your church and study the Bible and turn that thing off, all right? Watch Rifleman or something else, you know? Better off watching that. At least there's a good ending, you know, the good works, you know, the guy with the white hat and the guy with the black hat. Well, okay, you know what I mean. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Listen to this now. This is often used. You've heard this verse a lot. Applying it to the United States of America. If we could just get America. Okay, you know. Here it is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Some actually hope that the election of Trump is the answer to this. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Trump is not the answer to this verse, okay? He's not the answer. He's the furthest thing away from the answer here. So if you want to go on and hope in that, go ahead, but not me. Not me. My hope is in the Lord, who said he's going to come back someday and take this church right out of this world. And after 7 years of tribulation, he's coming back and he'll trump this world. That's for sure. He'll set this world straight. He's going to set up a kingdom of everlasting righteousness. And I'm going to be a part of that because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm going into that. And so we want to see, all right, what's this verse saying? If my people, folks, this is in the book of 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. The church, the United States of America, isn't even in view here at all. There's nothing here. Who is my people? Who is that? That's Israel, which are called by my name. You know, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay? You know those three men. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, meaning prince with God. Do you hear the L on the end of Israel? That's the name for God, Elohim. That's a shorter part of the name Elohim. Israel has prince with God. And that's where the nation of Israel gets their name. God gave them his own name. Now, the United States of America doesn't have God's name on it. We might have "In God We Trust," but it's not named after God. Israel is who this is talking about here. And he says, if they will humble themselves, which they still have not done. Israel has still rejected their Messiah. The one that Jeremiah talked about. The one that Isaiah said, unto us a son is given. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And it'll be God with us. He's coming someday. He promised that through the seed of Eve, that there her seed would come and save us all from the sin in the Garden of Eden. All these promises God has made is going to take place. But Israel has not humbled themselves as a nation to their God. If they will and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And you know when that's going to happen? If you read the book of Revelation, during the 7 years of tribulation on this earth that are going to happen after the rapture of the church, there are going to be 144,000 Jews who are going to get saved, miraculously saved through the gospel somehow. And they're going to preach the gospel during those 7 years. And the Bible indicates that a lot of people in that tribulation time are going to get saved, most notably the nation of Israel. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, if you would. Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to show you. It's going to say it. Right now, Israel has not humbled themselves. They aren't praying. Oh, they do have their religion. Oh, yes, they do. They have their synagogues. They're going to build a temple in Jerusalem. The Bible says so. They're going to do it. That Temple Mount, that's going to happen. And Jesus is going to come and enter into that temple when it's built. But they're a far way off from getting right with God as a nation. But look what it says here in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And he's talking to the Gentile people right now. And he's telling them something about Israel to come. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that's going to take place partially at the rapture of the church and through the tribulation time. And God's going to be done dealing with the Gentiles. And he's going to go back to dealing with Israel. And look what it says, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be what?
Saved.
As is written. And this is not just a salvation of deliverance from trouble or anything. Because as it goes on, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob's another name for what nation?
Israel.
For this is my covenant unto them. God made a promise. When I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Right now, the Jews are enemies of Jesus Christ. They don't like the gospel or anything, which many Gentiles are trusting in. Let me ask you to raise your hand if you are a Gentile. Raise your hand. Look at how many of you might have Jewish heritage. Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, there's one, two. All right, got some Jewish heritage there. Most of you are just old, dirty dog Gentiles. That's all you are. Saved by the grace of God. Amen. But you're Gentiles, most of you. Well, you know, this is going to come to an end. What is? A time in which God is pulling out of Gentiles a people for his name called the church. It's going to come to an end at the rapture. Then he's going to pick up with Israel, and oh boy, is that going to be a glorious day. And we're all going to rejoice in it. You say, well, I'm a Gentile. I don't really care about the Israelites. Oh, you will. Because you know what? You owe the fact that you're saved sitting here going to heaven today to Israel's existence.
Yes.
If Israel wasn't existing, you would not be rejoicing in the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. It's simple as that. Simple as that. Salvation is of the Jews. So that's why Christian churches, good Christian churches, will never be antagonistic towards the nation of Israel or anti-Semitic or any hateful speech or anything like that. That is wrong. Wrong as can be. They are the apple of God's eyes. Now, they're in unbelief. I'm not saying they're good and they're righteous or anything. They're not. They are really out of fellowship with their God right now. But there's coming a day, folks, when the glory of Israel is going to shine all over this world, and Jesus is going to rule in Jerusalem, not Moscow or Washington, D.C., Jerusalem. That's where it's going to be. And he's going to rule over Israel. Israel, all the people will love their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all the Gentile nations are going to be coming up to worship him. It is going to be a wonderful time. It just hasn't happened yet. But I have the promise right there I read to you. So all Israel shall be saved. It's going to happen. So to rightly divide the word of God, you've got to know what belongs to Israel, what belongs to the church. All right, here's another one. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now I want to ask you, who do you think the Lord our righteousness is? Who's that? That's Jesus. Jesus is in the Old and the New Testament. He's there. And he's our Savior. He's Israel's Savior. He's your Savior too. But notice it says that this king is going to come and execute judgment and justice in the earth. And Israel shall dwell safely in that day. They have an earthly promise. That Israel is going to be living on this earth in a state of blessedness and holiness. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain forever here on earth. The church, you and I, have not been told we're going to live here on this earth like that. Let's look at us. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this is scripture for the church. And I want to show you this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I think I have the wrong passage there. Hold on a second. Philippians. That's what it is. Philippians chapter 3. I wrote the wrong one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, we're all going to read this together. I want you to see the difference. Back there in Jeremiah, it's talking about earth, Israel, on the earth. Now look at us. Philippians 3:20, everybody together. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look
for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Where is our conversation going to be? In heaven. In heaven. Not here. We have another. See, the church is going to be with the Lord in heaven forever. Israel's going to be here on the earth with Jesus ruling and reigning over them here on this earth forever. Now, there will be some interchanging and things going on, but our basic dwelling place is heaven. Israel's basic dwelling place is going to be here on this earth. So, how about all these green party people worrying about the earth going to be burning up into a cinder and we got to go colonize some other planets and things like that? Baloney. Absolute baloney. This earth is going to stay. It's going to be made brand new. He's going to regenerate it, recreate it, everything brand new. But it's still going to be the earth, the moon, the sun, everything is still going to be here. You know, when they go out into space, I don't mind them going out. I know they're going out looking for proof for evolution. But I like every time they go out because it just spoils them every time they go. They just see the awesomeness of space and creation. Folks, our sun is huge. But do you know there are suns out there that you could put almost 1 million of our sons inside of. That's how big they are. This is not the product of a big bang. This is the product of an all-wise, intelligent designer called, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And these things are eternal. They're not going to fall apart and vanish away. And because he made them that way. So, you know, all these green people and the environmentalists and all that, I know they mean well and everything. And to a certain extent, we should be taking care of our planet. You know, we shouldn't be ruining things. We should be good stewards of what we have. But I am not worried that this planet's going to burn up and we better find another place to live. I'm not worried about that. Not at all. Jesus is coming again. And he's going to take care of everything. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. One more passage here before we go a little bit further. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Look at this. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Fadeth not away. Reserved in what?
Heaven.
For you. I don't know about you folks. I'm going to heaven. Now Israel is going to have their place here on this earth. All right. So now I just want to say this. Here is something. I just need to read this to you. And then we'll go on. It may safely be said that the Judaizing of the church, and that is taking everything that belongs to Israel and giving it to the church, has done more to hinder her progress, pervert her mission, and destroy her spiritually than all other causes combined. Instead of pursuing her appointed path of separation from the world and following the Lord in her heavenly calling, I'm talking about the church, she has used Jewish scriptures to justify herself in lowering her purpose to the civilization of the world, the acquisition of wealth, the use of an imposing ritual, the erection of magnificent churches, the invocation of God's blessings upon the conflicts of armies, and the division of equal brotherhood into clergy and laity. This has been a big problem. We need to stay away from bringing anything that belongs to Israel and applying it to the church. We need to stay away from that. Our calling is heavenly. We have a high calling. And if we go back under the law, we will become legalists. We will become just religionists. We'll have traditions galore. Just like they had when Jesus came. They said, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? He says, you guys have more traditions than there are the Word of God. And you're making the Word of God of none effect by all your traditions. We want to get rid of traditions and follow God's Word. Follow God's Word. And don't bring over what belongs to Israel to the church. All right, now, I gave you a outline, all right? The dispensations of the Bible. By way of introduction, and I'm just going to start with the word, and that's it. We're going to be done for today. The English word dispensation means, number one, the action of dealing out or distributing to dispense. Have you ever heard the word dispensation applied to the president's administration? They'll say the presidential dispensation, all right? Now, Trump has a dispensation. Obama had a dispensation. Bush had a dispensation. Their time came and went. They had a job to do. They were elected to do it. They tried their best to perform it, and they finished. Someone else comes in, and they start over. We have dispensations in the Bible. The action of dealing out or distributing to dispense. Number two, the action of ordering or managing the system by which things are administered. And number three, the action of dispensing accompanied with some requirement. An administration as in government. The first dispensation we will have is conscience. And God told Adam and Eve, here's what you're to do. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. That's what they were told to do. Take care of the earth. Enjoy everything. They were naked, didn't have any clothes on. They didn't need it. They had no problem. They had no problem with their mind about nakedness or anything. That comes after. That's a problem later. They were fine. Everything was good. All they had to do, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. And that's what happened. And that's why we have all the trouble in our world today, by the way. Okay? That's the reason why. The Greek word oikonomia is in two parts. Oikos is a Greek word for house. Nomos is law. So they have a house law. Their meaning together is to dispense, distribute, management of the affairs of a household. The English word economy is derived from this. Did you ever hear that word? The economy comes from oikonomia. And we get the word dispensation from this. As used by the Lord in Luke 12, 42, 16, 1 through 13, for the management of a household by a servant. And there was a parable back there where the Lord said the servant was to take care of things while he was gone. And then number three, stewardship or being a steward. And a lot of these verses here we're going to go over in time. I want to just go to the theological definition. A period of time during which man is tested as to his obedience to God's will. A dispensation involves stewardship, a solemn responsibility resting upon an individual or individuals to order their lives in keeping with the revealed will of God, which is applicable to them. There are seven dispensations in God's plan for the ages. Man fails in every one of them. With each dispensation, God reveals more of himself to man. Throughout all dispensations, fellowship with God is restored through the shedding of what? That's something that is very, very important. Every one of the dispensations ends with God resolving the problem by shedding innocent blood, pointing its finger to the what?
Cross.
The cross. Amen. To the cross. And everything in all of the dispensations kind of tilts on what God will do at the cross. So keep that in mind as we proceed through. I know there's a lot of words there and things, but as we go through, why study the Bible? We'll see that it's very important to study the Bible dispensationally. Because quite frankly, we cannot go back and live under the age of innocence. There is no innocence anymore. We can't go back to the Garden of Eden. In fact, we'll just close with this. What did God do after Adam and Eve sinned in order to keep them out of the Garden of Eden? What did he do? He put angels there with a flaming sword to keep them out of the garden, to keep them away from another tree called the tree of life. I said to keep them away from the tree of life. You know what would have happened? If they had eaten of the tree of life after they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would have lived forever in a sinful condition, never able to be saved or delivered from it at all. So God, in mercy, kept them out of the Garden of Eden after they sinned. Wow. But I'm going to tell you, there's another tree of life. And that's where you got to go for salvation. And that tree of life is the cross. Amen. That's the tree of life you need. And it's available to all. And so we'll close with that, and we'll pick up next week and get a little bit further in the study of dispensations. Are you totally confused? Or does it help? Are you grabbing a hold of some things here? Do you see the problem in the Christian world today of misapplying Scripture and everything? I'm going to show you some other Scriptures each time. I'm going to show you now, look at this verse, how it's misapplied, and show you. You can't do it. You can't just go into the Bible and pull out a Bible verse and plaster it on the wall and make it say whatever you want to say. It's got to apply. And if it doesn't apply, then don't accept it for yourself. It's for something else. All right, well, there you go. I hope that this will be a blessing to you as we continue on. Pray for me to feel good, all right? Your pastor needs energy, okay? I just have no energy, okay? And so pray for me to get some health so that I can keep on preaching and being forceful. I don't like to sit up here without being able to preach it out loud. If I can't give it a little oomph, I might as well sit down and shut up, right? So you pray for me that God just help me to have the strength I need. That's what I would like, all right? And that I would be able to study as well. Boy, it's just sometimes I sit there at home and I say, I ought to go into my study and sit down and read my Bible. I just can't get out of the chair. I just can't get up and go in and do it. So would you just really pray for me to have that energy I need to do that? Any questions? Anybody got any questions as we close up here? All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for all these people. And I pray that they will be helped in this study to understand their Bible better, to study their Bible and know how to apply it. Help me to make it simple. It could be a little bit difficult, so help me make it simple as we go along and give everybody a safe trip home. And help us to get back here tonight. We need church. Help us not to watch TV church. We need real church, the real church. Help us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.